All right, Romans chapter 1 here. And we're going to talk about the Supreme Court abomination. A prophecy of perversion, it's called. And I want to show you from the scriptures where this is headed. I believe where the Lord is showing us in the scriptures where all this is headed, where this Sodomite ruling and everything that's going on, the direction from the scriptures that God, listen, nothing is a surprise to the Lord, and God shows his servants, the prophets, the things that will come to pass. That's what he said, right? He said he would show us what would happen, and he showed us what would happen through the scriptures. He showed us what the progression is, or what the depravity would come to, what it would bring us to as a nation. And we're going to see that, okay? We're going to see where that depravity takes us. And we're going to see in the scriptures. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1, verse number 21. Romans chapter 1, verse number 21. And the Bible says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. You know, we preach a lot about this. We preach a lot about this out on the streets, really, don't we, brother? We preach Romans chapter 1 a lot. Why? Because it's what's going on in our nation right now. This is the plan, really. I mean, this is what's going on. This is a prophecy of what would take place and what has taken place in the past with a nation that has turned its back on God, or a people that has. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Look at that. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. In other words, God gave them what they wanted. He gave them what they wanted. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Man, I think that's a powerful word. Vile. Vile. Think about that. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Think about that. By the way, I think that has more than one meaning, probably, okay? The one in particular, obviously, is what the world would call lesbianism or something like that. But I think there's more. I think there's more to that. We are seeing a time, right? For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Yeah, it destroyed everything that God made a woman for. The complete opposite. Everything that was natural. That God made you for. Everything that was natural that God made a woman for, it changed it. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Yuck. Anyway, burned in their lust. Look at that. One toward another. Men with men. Working that which is unseemly. I'm hoping this note transferred. I got to check on it here and see if it did. But Brother Ickes wrote an excellent little note on that, and it probably didn't transfer. Oh, yes, it did here. That word, Brother Ickes said this about that word unseemly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4, the Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. This is charity's love in action, right? Listen up closely. You'll learn something here if you listen. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So charity doesn't work unseemly, right? Does not behave itself unseemly. Now notice again where that word is again in Romans chapter 1 verse number 26. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Ironically and not coincidentally, these are the only two verses of the Bible that use the word unseemly. And Paul knew what he was saying. He clearly says that homosexuality is unseemly, and that love does not behave that way. He says that love doesn't behave itself unseemly, but homosexuality is called unseemly. So what are we supposed to do? Just ignore the Bible? You know? Right. God loves everybody. Well, that's not love, what you're pushing. That's unseemly. God says, love worketh not. Charity doesn't vaunt itself like that. Doesn't work itself. Doesn't behave itself unseemly. No, you don't love each other. You don't love somebody like that. Amen. Every word means something in that King James Bible. Amen. Every word. Now, right there is a little truth, a little nugget there of truth. Right? A little jewel of truth there. Amen. For this cause, and likewise also the men, so the men did that, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. Yeah, marriage, that's right. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, that part gets left out a lot. Oh, yeah, those are the bad people. Yeah, but are you having pleasure in them that do them? Because if you are, then you are just as guilty. The Bible says you are just as guilty. And how many Christians do we have today that are watching the same filth, going along with the same garbage, accepting the same wickedness into their eye gate, And encouraging this, going to movies, watching these programs, all this other kind of stuff. Not separating from the sports idolatry. Do you see what the Detroit Lions said they're going to do? Brother Ryan, you saw it? Detroit Lions said they're going to have a gay day or whatever. Isn't that what is it? A gay pride day? Right. Still want to support football? Go listen to that sermon, Sports Idolatry, Bread and Circuses. Listen, folks, there's coming a time closely. There's coming a time closely that we are going to have to separate, and we should have already done that, but many things in this world that we're just not going to be able to be a part of. Okay? Because they're going to be so consumed with wickedness and filled with wickedness and evil that we're going to have to stay away from them. We're going to stay away. Think about it. Father, Lord, I pray you bless us now. Help us, Lord. We need you. Lord God, we know where this nation is headed by the word of God. And Lord, we just pray that we'd be light and salt in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But we've seen this pattern in the scriptures before, that when a nation takes this turn, it never comes back. Do you understand that? When nations take the turn that our nation just took, they don't come back from that. It's like that nation is given over to that reprobation, okay? It's given over to that state where you don't see a comeback from very many nations. We saw Manasseh make a comeback, didn't we? I mean, but guess what God said? He said, I'm still going to destroy Israel, though. I'm still destroying them. Even though you repented, I'm still going to destroy you. I'm still going to destroy Judah. Why? Because it went too far. And we've went too far. The Supreme Court abomination, a prophecy of perversion is what we have today. This is a prophecy of perversion. And I'm telling you what, that strong delusion is. So it's here, folks. You got to understand that it's here, this strong delusion. We are watching people that are supposed to be saved people defending now gay marriage, defending now wickedness, defending that awful sin. Because if you don't stand against it, you'll defend it. What does the Bible say to us? God said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Number one, we notice that society must reject God to accept sin. To accept this sin, we must reject, a nation must reject God. They have to. Why? Because the Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In order to accept the Sodomite lifestyle, you've got to reject that there's a God. You've got to turn your back on that God. Romans chapter 1, verse number 21, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How is it on the street? What do they do if they're professing themselves to be wise? Got a lot of professors out there, don't we, Brother Paul? Out there with you when you're on the street, what do? They profess themselves to be wise. And what does the Bible call them? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're a bunch of fools. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up. Why did He give them up? They rejected God. That word reprobate means reprobate. That silver, it's rejected silver. It's rejected of God, right? Why? Because they rejected Him. There is no country on this earth that has had the mercy given to it like the United States of America. God has given us great mercy. Wherefore, God also gave them up unto uncleanness, and through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What did they have to do? They had to deny God. So when did they do that? Right here in America, in the public school system? When they forced the teaching of evolution and banned the teaching of creation. That's when they did. That's when you saw generation after generation after generation after generation. And what happened to those generations? They are taught that there is no God. They are taught that they evolve somehow. And by the way, you can have your faith as a public school kid as long as it doesn't impact your behavior. As soon as your faith impacts your behavior, then you can't have it anymore. What do you mean by that? Well, as soon as I don't go along with their same riotous activity, as soon as I don't want to be a part of their homosexual indoctrination, then I'm not allowed to have my faith anymore. See how that works? If your faith changed your behavior, you're not allowed to have it anymore. But by the way, only true faith changes true behavior. Changes behavior. Right here in America, they've embraced evolution, kicked prayer out of schools, and told the Lord Jesus His word was not welcome any longer. So once you do that, you're on the road to homosexuality taking over your country. Why? Because like Nate preached on relativism, there are no absolutes. There are no absolutes anymore. And that's what you're seeing. Just this week with that girl from Rosemont I told you about. Just this week, what do you see? No absolutes. And you're arguing with somebody and trying to tell, and they don't believe in absolutes anymore. There is no right, there is no wrong with them. There is no right and wrong with them any longer. They're right, their anchor didn't hold, that's right. Because I'm going to tell you what, just like I tell that girl, if I was in front of her face, you're as lost as the devil is. You're going to split hell wide open. Yeah. Very deceived. Folks, that's why it's important to preach against sin. That's why it's important to hold the line. That's why it's important to tell the truth about things and to be straightforward. Because this wishy-washy stuff hasn't helped anybody. All it does is give a place for the devil and a place for sin. You've got to be straightforward. You've got to be straightforward with people. You cannot back off, and you cannot... Listen, folks, I'm telling you, it's getting... Like I told you, like I preached on Wednesday, it's getting so dark out there. I'm telling you, it's getting dark. It is getting dark. You have to reject God in order to accept sodomy. You have to. You have to. You can't have both. Oh, how about the occult? We've covered that in another sermon, the occult history of homosexuality. Go back and listen to it. It's tied together. Once you reject the authority of the God of the Bible, you take on devils and their activity. And what is their activity? Their activity is anything contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's their activity. We've covered that. We've covered also a reprobate in another sermon. What is a reprobate? So you can go back and listen to that. What is a reprobate? All right? You can go back and listen to that. Well, and a lot of them are. A lot of them are reprobates. A lot of homosexuals are. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. Okay? And probably most of them are. Okay? At that point when they get bad. But there is a chance they can be saved. There's a chance. And then they came in. We've got to keep preaching because they can be saved. Amen? They can be saved, so we have to keep preaching. Amen? But needless to say, it starts with a society that rejects God. That's where this road leads to. I understand individuals in this nation could still be saved, but as a nation as a whole, they've rejected the God of the Bible. And don't tell me it was just five people on the Supreme Court that made that decision. No, they represent the wickedness and lust of men's hearts. Listen, God gives you what you deserve, okay, this nation. God's giving this nation what it deserves. And we talk about Obama, we talk about all these other things. You know what? I know what Obama is. I understand what he is. But you know what? George Bush was the same thing. Right? And the next guy is going to be even worse. And the next one's going to wax worse. Why? Because they're all wicked and corrupt. And they have to be. And they have to be. Or the next woman. I'm telling you, I don't think I could take 4 years of hearing Hillary screech like an owl. Oh. I'm telling you. Well, I don't think she'd make it to 8 years. She's half dead now. I mean, I'm telling you. What's that? Yeah, she's definitely a Jezebel. She's definitely a witch. Pretty high level one, too. Well, that's not very nice. I know, I didn't intend it to be. I intended it to be true. But America is a cesspool of hell. If she wasn't, there would be no liquor trafficking, no porn industry, no sodomite industry, no drug abuse, and no pharmaceutical sorcery. Don't give me that line about this being some kind of a righteous nation. It's not a righteous nation. We export more evil across the world than any nation in this world. That's right, ever. And we're proud of it. We wave a flag and celebrate it on the 4th of July. I didn't celebrate yesterday because there wasn't anything to celebrate. We should have had a day of mourning yesterday is what we should have had. After this last decision of our country, it should have been a day of celebration, waving a big flag, saluting it, and praying to not... Yeah. For more than one reason, it should have been a day of mourning. It should have been a day of fasting and prayer more than that. Why? Because what this nation once was, it's not any longer. It's in the full clutches of the Antichrist. Don't try to blame it on five people. America loves their sin. And if Christians or even professing ones stop supporting these evil industries, like Hollywood, the music industry, the sports industry, they would shrivel up and die. I said professing, by the way. Because you got to know, what is it, like 50% profess to be Christians or something like that, or 70%? Now, we know they're not saved, but they profess it. If the professing Christians decided that they would pull away from all this wickedness and evil, there wouldn't be anybody to support it. That ought to show you how wicked the nation is. Neither them that have pleasure in it that do them, right? All right, number two, Scripture shows us that acceptance of homosexuality has to be next. If you deny God, you accept homosexuality. It's the way it is. Why? Because the God of the Bible is the only God that preaches it. The God of the Bible is the only God that preaches against it. All the other ones don't. I've heard in Islam, I've heard him make exceptions for it. I've heard made exceptions for animals too, by the way. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse number 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What does it say here? For this cause. Why? For the rejection of God. God gave them up unto those vile affections. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burning their lust one toward another. If you reject the Lord and you accept the Sodomite lifestyle. Why? Because there are no absolutes without the Lord Jesus Christ in the King James Bible. There are no absolutes. You are given over to relativity. Whatever I think might work, whatever may work, whatever I can try, whatever you think is right. What is that? Nate, the book of Judges was full of what? That's right. It was full of also what? Relativity. What did every man do? That which was right in his own eyes. That's what they did. There was no king. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. By the way, who was their king? God. God was their king. But it says there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which is right in their own eyes. They rejected the God of the Bible and did what they wanted to do. So they would repent, and God would send a judge. What did the judge come to do? Put some order back in the land, right? They would sin again. God would give them over to their wickedness. What did they eventually get given over to in Benjamin? In the Benjamin tribe, what did they get given over to? Homosexuality. You reject the God of the Bible, that's where you're headed. You have to be. That's how it works. There are no absolutes without the Bible. God's word is our sole authority. We've heard it said our final authority, it's our sole authority. There isn't another one. Right? I understand what people mean when they say final authority, but really, is there another one? No, it's the sole authority. It's everything. It's the only one, the only authority we have when it comes to that. Amen? That's it. You reject the Lord and you automatically accept Lucifer. That's how it works. There's no in between. Plain and simple. You're either of Jesus or you're of the devil. You either have the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, or you have the spirit of God that dwells in you. There's no other. You either accept the mystery of iniquity, you either accept the mystery of godliness, or you fall prey to the mystery of iniquity. These people that want to ride the fence and find both sides, there isn't. There isn't both sides. All this is, this Supreme Court justice and what they did, it's just a prophecy of perversion. It's coming. Perversion is coming more than you've ever seen before in your life. There are only two spirits in the world. We understand that. Those who reject the Spirit of the Lord, they embrace the mystery of iniquity, and all the evil sin follows them and leads them. This is that prophecy of perversion that unfolds in your life and in society that we see. This is what we're seeing. We are seeing an absolute prophecy of perversion. We're going to see all of these things that we've seen in the past are coming up now again in the days of Noah. It's like, as in the days of Noah. What does the Bible say? All flesh had corrupted itself before God. Well, how did the animals corrupt themselves? They did and we did. We corrupted them. We weren't there, but they did. Those who reject it, So we see that the society is given over to evil and wickedness, just like Romans chapter 1 says. They embrace the evil and hate the good. So then what is the prophecy of perversion that follows? Number one. Well, this is longer than I thought. All right, I better hurry up. Number one, the Sodomites are not satisfied with just being married. It was never about marriage. It was about full-blown participation and acceptance. That's what it's about. It's about indoctrinating your children at a young age for perversion. It's just the beginning of their agenda. Well, you heard the homosexual manifesto. That's the beginning of their agenda, was that they said they were going to take your sons. Well, Is it hard for them too when most fathers don't even know their own children? When most fathers in America don't even spend time with their kids? They don't even know who their kids are hanging around with. They don't know where their children are. They don't have any time with their father at all. They don't know where their children are at all. What do you think about that? What do you think happens when that comes up? Will it be hard for somebody to swoop right in and take them and advantage of them? They don't even know. They send their children off to public school and they have no idea who they're hanging around with and who their friends are. Who's influencing and impacting their lives? How do you know that, preacher? Because when I was 14 years old, no, 12 years old, when I was 12 or 13 years old, my parents had no idea what I was doing. That's how I know. My dad was working, my mom was sent to work, and I was running around. And at that young age, I had pornographic magazines. And I was taking those pornographic magazines to school. Yep. See, why are you saying that? Because it's a perfect example of what really happens when you don't have your eyes on your children. That's what. Not my son, he wouldn't do that. Hey, I was in the Christian school till I was 10. I was one of those kids that wouldn't do that. Right? See, it's just the perversion is all around them. It's just the beginning of what they want to do. We saw what? In Sodom, we saw that young and old were gathered around. And when sodomy is allowed in the land, the youth and the old will be perverted alike. And that's really the next goal, is to steal the young and their purity and to destroy and defile them. That's their goal. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Some of these things may shock you, I'm going to say, but it's all Bible. So if it shocks you, you haven't been reading your Bible. So if I see a funny face on your face, I'm going to know that you haven't been reading the Bible. Right? Amen. I'm going to know that you haven't been reading the scriptures then, because this shocks you. I mean, it's gross, but I mean, if it shocks you, then I don't think you've been reading your Bible. Amen? Get in there and read. There's a lot in there. I think that most people get offended because they don't know the Bible. They've never read it. So when you preach on something that they've never read before, they're completely offended and shocked by it. Well, all that does is show your absolute ignorance of the scriptures. Amen? Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 11, we'll start there. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. These are laws that were given to Israel. By the way, these are moral purity laws. You understand that? These aren't ceremonial laws. Amen? These aren't ceremonial laws. These are for moral purity. They stand for all of time. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. That's aunt. Sorry. If you say aunt, people get upset with you. It's aunt. Thank you. I said that right for you, Brother Nate. Yeah. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Look at that. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister, to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, besides the other in her lifetime. Yeah, because it didn't work out well for Jacob and Leah and, right, Rachel? That didn't work out so well. They had a lot of hate and animosity, right? Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt listen, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of to Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Here we go. By the way, it's all in the same sentence. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Is it still an abomination? Amen. Still is, right? All right, here we go. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now listen, you mark it down, folks. Open and outright incest is closely associated with the acceptance of sodomy in the land, and that's coming. All right, I'm going to read you this article. In the late 1980s, the founder of a support group, listen, for adopted children who had recently reconnected with their biological relatives, coined the term genetic sexual attraction to describe the intense romantic feelings that she observed occurring in many of these reunions. According to an article, The Guardian, what a name. Experts estimate that these taboo feelings occur in about 50% of cases where estranged relatives are reunited as adults. GSA's discoverer had herself become attracted to the son she'd adopted out when she met him 26 years later, but her feelings were not reciprocated. Are you getting this? Yeah, I know, it's weird, but I didn't make it up. It's in the scriptures, so we're going to talk about it. Amen? That's the way it's going to be. What is it? What's going on here? Well, first of all, let me help you with something, okay? You're supposed to have a motherly instinct when you're a mom, right? And if it's a daughter that they say has that attraction towards a father, no, that's a daughter wanting a father to love her properly. And that's a sick pig that takes advantage of that. That's what that is. That's a sick, devil-possessed pig that does that, okay? I don't know if I can make it any plainer for you. Though the research is scarce, well, I would hope so, those who have studied GSA offer a range of possible explanations for it, including, listen to this, a primordial feeling of always having belonged to the estranged relative, a sense of wanting to experience the bonding missed out during childhood. Well, duh! Or simply an overwhelming closeness based on similarities, like meeting a mate who was designed for you in a science lab. I don't know what that means exactly, but now, so why are you bringing this up? Because, folks, this stuff is being accepted now. It's going to be accepted. Listen, this is an article from last year. A teenager has revealed in an interview that she plans to marry her father and have children after dating for 2 years. The unnamed 18-year-old revealed in an interview with New York Magazine her romantic relationship of almost 2 years with her biological father after being estranged from him for 12 years. In the interview, the girl also said the two plan on having children as well. The teenager said her father reached out to her on Facebook when she was in high school, and soon after she went to stay with him for a week. After the week together, yeah, he fornicated with her. She said, everyone on my mother's side of the family sees us as father and daughter, she told the magazine. Those who know that he's my dad and that we are engaged include my father's parents, and they can see we are happy together, and they can't wait for us to have babies. And they treat us just like any other couple. The woman we live with and my best friend. After the wedding, the woman says they plan to move to New Jersey where adult incest is legal. You see, there are no boundaries. There are no rules. I'll tell you what, like them or not, what preacher said, back to the Bible or back to the jungle? That's right. True statement, isn't it? Amen. Bunch of savages. Amen. Right. Although savages have better sense than that. Bunch of demonic devils, what they are. There's another one where a woman is set to marry her own son. The woman and her son claim to be in love with each other, and now they want to take their relationship to the next level and get married. Considering that, the mother, Betty, now this is not in America, this one isn't, is now 6 months pregnant and expecting her son's child and her grandchild. That's what the Bible said. It was confusion. It's wrought confusion. That's what it says. Now, God's law forbids it, but man is accepting it because he has rejected the God of the Bible. It's a prophecy of perversion. The next prophecy of perversion we see is Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 23. Folks, I don't think you understand that God didn't just put this in here just like for fun, okay? Some of you see these things in there. Some of you see these things in Scripture and you think that they're not like what, like, I mean, that's not really like going to happen, right? That was just Bible times, right? Like, that doesn't happen now. Well, you're still in Bible times. And yes, it does happen now. And God hates it. Still. Leviticus 18:23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Well, why would God tell the Israelites that? What would be the reason that he would give the Israelites? Well, in history we find this. In Egypt, in Mendes, there was a public display of this, and Herodotus wrote this of a woman and a goat. He said, with any beast, let him who denies the inherent depravity of man study this prohibition. He's talking about this verse right here. As he says, if you deny the depravity of man, look at this verse. This prohibition implies the sacredness of and dignity of human nature inasmuch as the abomination was punished by death. In Egypt, women publicly submitted themselves to goats, nor has unregenerate nature entirely outgrown its dreadful downward tendency. In modern Egypt, men lie even with female crocodiles. The heathen generally have no moral abhorrence for this crime. The revised statutes of Massachusetts, a foremost Christian state at the time, contain this law. Whoever commits the abominable and detestable crime against nature, either with mankind or with any beast, shall be punished in the state prison, not exceeding 20 years. See, there was a law against it. If you study, Cotton Mather, his son Ignatius Mather, I think his name is Ignatius, I can't remember. Increase Mather, thank you. Actually, Increase was the father, I think. Yeah, and Cotton was the son. But if you study that, if you study the works there in New England of Christianity, New England, they had many trials there, and they had many trials of bestiality that was going on in those. That actually Increase Mather, I think he was walking along one day and found it right there going on. Okay. And you say, why are you saying this, preacher? I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to either, but God said in his word. And what I'm trying to do is warn you that they're going to mainstream this. You didn't think it would happen with homosexuality 25 years ago, did you? You didn't think it would be so prevalent like it is now, did you? You didn't think it would be so big as it is now, did you? But you know what? This bestiality is going to be the same way. It's going to be the same way. It's a prophecy of perversion coming to America. It's only a matter of time before it's mainstream. By the way, lastly, I believe we'll see pedophilia as well, mainstream. They're already pushing it. Now, we already know there's a white elite system all over the world that are part of child trafficking. And pedophilia, and they practice it. It was part of Greek culture. It's part of the Roman culture. You see the same thing. You see the same thing here. They're already pushing it. What was that? An article? I'm sorry, I don't have the article with me. But there was a psychiatrist that wrote, and they said pedophilia is not a crime. What was it? What'd they call it? I'm trying to think. Brother Nate, did you read that article? It wasn't a crime. It was called an attraction or something. That's what it was called. But it wasn't a crime, she said. It's disgusting and very evil, but when you kick God out and reject him, he'll reject your nation as well. And we're seeing it all right before our eyes. Folks, I'm telling you what, you're going to be shocked in the years to come what we're going to see because I'm telling you, it all has to do, one of the major stepping stones to all this was the fact that the Supreme Court said, hey, put their stamp of approval on homosexual marriage, thereby putting their stamp of approval on homosexuality. And thereby making it a law. By the way, I know the Supreme Court doesn't have power to make laws, but this is not that country anymore. Okay? They just did. They just made a law. They did it. The same day they made that law, they made Obamacare a law too. They made it again. They did it again over and over again. And when Justice Roberts was asked about Obamacare, he smiled when Justice Scalia looked at him and said, "Hey, I think you're rewriting the law. You're making your own law here." And he smiled. He said, "I wonder what they got on you to make you make that kind of a law." You're not supposed to make laws. You don't have power to make laws. Somebody wrote an article and said, "I wonder what they have on him. Got something good on him." Of course they do. NSA's got something on everybody. But we're seeing this prophecy of perversion. We're going to see it unfold right in front of your eyes. I'm sorry, folks. There are no absolutes anymore. They have destroyed all absolutes in this country. There aren't going to be any absolutes. So everything will be acceptable. Everything will be acceptable. Everything. By the way, right after they passed the law, or they put their stamp approval on homosexual marriage, a man went to the courthouse and said he wanted to marry two women. You're going to see some guy come up, or some lady come up with a goat to the courthouse. They're going to say, "I want to marry this goat." Don't believe me, do you? Hang on, it's coming. Folks, when there are no absolutes anymore, anything can happen. There are none. When you erase all of those things and you reject the God of the Bible, what happens? What's the Bible say? In Proverbs 17:15, "He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abominations to the Lord." Again, Leviticus 18:6, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." But look what judgment happens next. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 24. Look what happens. Do you think it's surprising that all those things, incest, bestiality, pedophilia, all those things, are homosexuality, fornication, they're all listed in one section of things that God hates? God said, don't do them. Don't do them. Why? He tells them why in Leviticus chapter 18. First of all, I want you to understand something. All those things were going on in Egypt when they were there. They watched that bestiality. They watched the homosexuality. They watched all those things happen there. They were practicing in their witchcraft and everything that was going on there. All that magic that Aleister Crowley talks about. All that stuff was going on already in Egypt. They had already seen those things. And the land which they were going to was full of sons of Belial. And that was going on there too. So God said, no, you're different. You're a chosen priesthood. You're a royal generation. No, you don't do those things. You're not part of those things. But you know what? Now you got gaychristians.com. Yeah. That's what you have. Gaychristians.com. And you have churches. I was down south. I couldn't believe it. A Baptist church on the corner. We were driving. It said, "All people are welcome. All are welcome." Now, see, that wouldn't mean anything if it was maybe 20 or 30 years ago. But right now, the reason they're saying that is they're making a point. They're inviting sodomites into their church. That's what they're doing. And I can tell you very plainly that all people are not welcome here. In fact, there are some people that are definitely not welcome here. And I don't have a problem saying that either. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Let me help you. They're professing Christians that aren't welcome here. There are some Christians that are probably saved that are not welcome here. It doesn't set well with some people, does it? It doesn't have to. This isn't your church. This is the Lord's church, and He put us in charge. Amen? Pretty simple, isn't it? It's not popular, though, today. Shouldn't be, though. Never been popular, by the way. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 24. What did he say? "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled." Would you say America is defiled? I would say so. "The land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it." So wait a minute. So if God visited the iniquity of their lands upon them, and he kicked them out of their land, and he killed them essentially, what is he going to do here? You say, well, this isn't Israel. I understand it's not Israel, believe me. But the principles are the same. If you shed innocent blood, if you do all these things which God hates, God's going to bring judgment upon you. He says, and the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. God is going to visit the iniquity upon America. The Lord is going to require it of us. He will require it of us. It says here, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. That's the judgment of God right there, isn't it? However it happens, folks, I don't know how it is, but judgment is coming. He said here in verse number 26, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations, what are these abominations? The ones we read in Leviticus chapter 18. For all these abominations have men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves herein. Therein I am the Lord your God. Well, is he the Lord your God? Are you supposed to defile yourself with any of these things? No. I'm going to tell you something. The deception is so strong, and this prophecy of perversion is so strong, that I'm going to tell you what you're going to see, folks. You're going to see these things accepted in places that they call churches. You're going to see the acceptance of these things. You are going to, in time, listen to me, in time, homosexuality is going to be mainstream accepted in independent Baptist churches. Why? Because we are in a time of deception and falling away. And you are going to see it. You are going to see that the stand that this church takes will be hated. You say, I can't believe it. Well, I can't believe, listen, I can't believe that somebody from a church that grew up at this age all the way up that you watch would accept this perversion. And really, and it wasn't just this young lady. There was a bunch of others on there that accepted it. Do you see that thread, Brother Bicey? Yeah. Joy tried to talk some sense into her, though. Amen. I'm glad she did. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not friends with her anymore. Otherwise, I would have. Boy, I would have got on there. I'm telling you. You know, it's scary, folks, how dark it's getting out there. When people can accept that and then play that judge not card, or there's other sin or whatever, like, you know somebody's mind is already seared. Their conscience is already seared. And I'm going to tell you something about that young lady. There was some sin way back when she was a teenager in high school that she didn't get taken care of, and nobody held her accountable for. See, I happen to know this because I know some people that were connected with it, some authority that was connected with it, and they didn't deal with it. And I warned them more than once. I warned them about their other son, too. They didn't do nothing about it. They didn't do a thing about it. And I'm going to tell you why. When you don't deal with that sin, and they had a chance to deal with it 10 years ago, they had a chance to deal with it, and they didn't. And I'm going to tell you, when you get away with sin as a young person like that, it continues to sear your conscience. That's what happened. And now you got somebody saying, hey, it's okay to be gay. It's okay. I don't know what the Christians are having such a big deal about. Yeah, I know. You're the same person that'll turn us in, though, one day. That's exactly who you are. I'm going to tell you something right now. If somebody tries to join this church and they won't take the stands that we do on stuff, they're not joining this church.
Amen.
Very plainly. And if you change your stance on something and you turn to the world, you're not going to stay here either. Amen. And that's not because I'll do it. I'll get together with the men and we'll talk. We'll try to help you first and see you repent. If you won't repent, you are gone. Amen. Because it is too serious and the day is too dark for us to play games with sin and wickedness. Right. And we have to protect these young people that are coming up. It's like I said the other day, the day is dark, and I'm going to tell you, we have to be clear, and we have to be strong in what we say, and we have to be bold in what we say. And the reason why is because these young people have to have it straight. They have to have it cut straight to them. Because we're entering a time of absolute deception. That's this prophecy of perversion that's coming. It is absolute deception that comes with it. It is a day of darkness and deception that comes. And strong delusion is coming. And you're going to see these people that you thought were saved. You're going to see these people that you thought were saved, born-again Christians, and you're going to see them fall away. And you are going to be shocked. You are going to be absolutely shocked that they fall away and they want nothing to do. Why? Because they weren't saved to begin with. And they've got that strong delusion. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, this week, pacifist Christianity has to end, folks. And we need to be used of God to try to. The perversion is going to rise, and I'm telling you, everything's going to be so weird when you don't want to. When you can't go out your door, I believe we're going to come to a time when you're not even going to be able to go out your front door without seeing people fully naked and committing fornication right in the streets. I believe that's coming. I believe you're going to see that. And I believe you'll try to talk to a police officer, tell them, and they won't say, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, listen, I had a guy moon me, and my son was standing right there, and he mooned everybody right downtown at the Joel Osteen, outside of the Joel Osteen. And you know what? I had it on tape, and I could show the police officer that was on tape. And you know what he did? Nothing. 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 Why? It's a prophecy of perversion. It's coming. It's the rise of that perversion. It's coming. See, you have to have a completely perverted people in order to bring the Antichrist in. You've got to have fornication hit its highest. You've got to have bestiality, pedophilia, incest, all those things. Why? Because demons and devils are comfortable in that atmosphere. That's why. The only hated ones are going to be those that stand up for traditional marriages as found in the scriptures. They're going to be the hated ones, the outdated ones. They're going to be the ones that always cause trouble wherever they go. You're the troublemakers. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? What do you say? I have not troubled Israel, but thy father. Think about it. What's coming? That's what's coming, folks. You're going to see it. You're going to see it so plain as day in front of your face, and you're going to be shocked that it's mainstream. You're going to be shocked at it. But folks, listen to me. What has moved Christians? Have you seen any Christians move away? Most Christians move away from football and all those where their halftime shows are nothing but pornography and Luciferian shows. Luciferian ceremonies right there. Has it moved Christians away, or do they still talk about their sports and their love for that stuff and make excuses for it? Has it caused them to stop with Hollywood and watching movies and everything else? Has the perversion in Hollywood stopped it, that they watch every day, that they see every day? Has it made an impact on them? Has it made them want to stop? No. You know, we have this vision in our minds that there are so many Christians in America, that there's like hundreds of millions of Christians in America. And we are fooling ourselves, folks. We really are fooling ourselves that we believe these people. Because I'm going to tell you what, as perversion rises, as we see it rise, as we see the wickedness rise, what you are going to find is that these people that claim to be saved don't have Christ and don't care about Him. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. We are going to see that. And it started by a rejection of God in this nation, and then it trickled down to all the other wickedness that abounds because there are no absolutes any longer. There's no absolutes in anything. Now it doesn't matter what you marry. It's not going to matter what you marry or who you marry. You're going to see people trying to marry little boys. Say, come on, preacher, that's nuts. Nobody's going to do that. Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are. And it's going to be accepted. It's going to be accepted. Why? Because you can't judge, right? Judge not. Right? Judge not, they'll say. What did they do with Miley Cyrus? What did she do? Turned her into a flaming lesbian? Or bisexual, whatever you call it? Right in front of everybody? It said she was a Christian? Well, I don't embrace that anymore. I don't want anything to do with that anymore. She said, my God, she said, my mom loves me more than she loves any God. No, that's wrong. She just made you a God. See? This is the direction that our nation is headed right now. You say, I don't like that. I don't like it either, folks, but you better embrace for it. See, what I'm trying to prepare you for is spiritual warfare. That's what I'm trying to prepare you for. What I'm trying to prepare you for is to open your eyes and see what's going on around you and understand that this stuff's not going away. This God put that into his law, and he put that into his in the Bible for a reason, for you to understand these things are real and these things are going to happen. They're already happening, but they're going to happen in open. Just like in the days of Noah, when all flesh had corrupted itself before God. Same thing. You better be ready. You better be ready. You better have your armor on. And you better be ready, folks, because it's going to get real dark real quick. By the time that our children are old enough to understand, if the Lord tarries his coming long enough to see, for us to see that, or before, if we live that long, you will see these things done openly, and your children, only what you teach them and what the Bible, what you teach them from the Bible, will they understand what marriage is, because they will not see it. They will not see it in this nation. They will not see it by example anywhere else but by you. That's why it's going to be important for you to take care of your family, for you to teach your children, for moms to be home with their children and take care of them, for fathers to lead their families and be the high priest of their home and to teach their families. Because, and in the church, obviously us and the duty that we have, because this perversion is going to get worse. You cannot deny the God of the Bible, and you cannot shake your fist at heaven and declare laws that are against God's word openly like that and not have a judgment for that. Every nation that's ever done it, every empire that's ever done it, has been judged by God. And God will judge America, and God will destroy this nation, I believe. See, how do you go back from what's already happened? You think the Supreme Court is going to change their mind? You think they're going to change their mind? No. They're saying it's the law of the land now. So what does that mean? It's a declaration of damnation. That's what it is. And that's what it means. And the perversion, you haven't seen nothing yet of what's coming. You better have your armor on. You better be ready. Because we're going to see some dark things and some dark days ahead. Father, Lord, we thank you. Help us to walk by faith, Lord, and not by sight. Through these dark days, Lord, this prophecy of perversion that's coming upon us, Lord, that we're going to see this open perversion. Lord, help us. Please help us, Lord, to be strong in these wicked days that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.